thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, and you can email us if you have any suggestions or critiques or whatever at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net. Remy Frasse was a resistor at the Zad du Testé, a land occupation and struggle against the building of the Sivens Dam in southern France. He was killed in the early hours of October 26th of this year when police fired a concussion grenade which struck Remy at the base of his neck. A comrade from France was kind enough to share with the Final Straw a conversation with folks from Zad du Testé about the killing of their friend Remy by French law enforcement, the fighting that led up to it, and more. We are quite thankful. The second half of the show will be metal and punk music. First, though, Sean Swain has some thoughts on Ferguson in these days before the release of the grand jury indictment, or lack thereof, of the murderous swine who killed Mike Brown. What you say, what you say, what you say,
what? We'll come like a boss! Let's go back to Ferguson. As I speak, protesters in Ferguson await the grand jury's decision in the case of a police officer who killed Mike Brown. And I really don't know why. This is the same criminal justice system that has justified the genocide of black people by white government agents for centuries. The same system that hired this pig, handed him a loaded gun, and sent him goose-stepping into a predominantly black community in the first place. So now thousands are poised, insisting that this same system somehow validate the life of Mike Brown by prosecuting the very same killer who killed Mike while on the system's own payroll. Why? Why are people appealing to an obviously racist control system for validation? To me, this is an extremely sad scenario. It's like thousands of abused children, traumatized and neglected by a vicious, drunken father. And even after they realize what a brutal monster he is, they still seek his approval and validation. I don't get it. Why does anyone care what a grand jury thinks, or the prosecutor, or a judge? Mike Brown is dead, and to speak of justice for Mike Brown is ridiculous if you're talking about some stupid piece of paper with a rubber stamp on it, telling us what we already know, issued by the same institutions that took his life. Justice for Mike Brown would be giving him his life back, something grand juries, prosecutors, and judges can't do. So in terms of justice, all of them are irrelevant. Mike is gone, but there's plenty that can be done to prevent the next police shooting before it happens. Community leaders would have you believe peaceful protest is the way to go. They invoke the spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, as if they never even got the memo of how well nonviolence worked out for him. These so-called community leaders have used this peaceful protest tool an awful lot. They employed peaceful protests after the shootings of Amado Diallo, and after the shooting of Oscar Grant. But that didn't stop the shooting of Trayvon Martin. After peaceful protesting the shooting of Trayvon Martin, police killed Mike. So now community leaders, and even Mike's father, are urging nonviolence, the very response that led to the death of Mike in the first place, and has led to the police shootings of other black men since. How many have to die before you stop urging the same tired tactics that perpetuate bloodshed and death? It should be a crime to urge a community to nonviolence while guns are pointed at their heads and their children are exterminated one by one. There might be a time and place for nonviolence, but right now, in Ferguson, is not it. Violence is the answer, because nonviolence failed again and again and again. Governor Jay Nixon, a state terrorist, has urged peace and said violence will not be tolerated. What he meant was, violence will not be tolerated unless you're a trigger-happy white cop shooting black people. Jay Nixon, advocate for nonviolence and peace, is the same idiot who ordered thousands of soldiers with rifles into the streets of Ferguson. What, are they going to distribute rainbows and bunny rabbits? I've never seen nonviolence come out of the barrel of an assault rifle. So look, realistically, if we hit the rewind button to the murders of Michael Pipkins or Malise Green, and instead of engaging this nonviolent nonsense, we took out two pigs for every black man they assassinated, the genocide would have ceased. Mike Brown would still be alive. Oscar Grant would still be alive. Trayvon Martin would still be alive. If, after the Rodney King verdict, folks in Los Angeles had brought down the county courthouse instead of the poor neighborhoods, if they had, in the words of Rage Against the Machine, rolled down Rodeo with a shotgun, the modern reaction to police violence by the government would be far more wise and enlightened, no doubt. But in all these scenarios, so-called community leaders were marched out to urge calm, peace. Courthouses are still standing. Cops are still shooting. Black men are still dying. All these missed opportunities. Are we going to miss another one? Governor Jay Nixon already called in the National Guard, so protesters now face the entirety of the state's repressive capacity. All the fish are right there in one barrel. I bet the state capitol is virtually naked. I said, I bet the state capitol is virtually naked. A few thousand people rolling into Jefferson City with shotguns and a bullhorn could give Jay Nixon a good sense of how it feels to be black and unarmed in Ferguson. As the gas ignites, someone can use the bullhorn to urge the governor to remain calm, nonviolent. Let's make Mike's death stand for something. Let's put a stop to police shootings once and for all by putting a stop to the police state. No justice, no peace. The police. For ESON, this is Ohio Governor in Exile Elect Sean Swain from Ohio Supermax Facility. If you're listening, you are the resistance. For discussion.
You can write to Sean Swain at Sean Swain, number 243-205, OSP 878, Coitsville-Hubbard Road, Youngstown, Ohio 44505. To read some of Sean's writings and learn more about his case, check out seanswain.org.
So I'm here today with someone who's going to talk to us about the death of Remy Fraisse in the Zad de Teste in the south of France. Can you introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Camille. I'm living in the Zad of Notre-Dame-des-Landes.
I arrived at Le Teste 2 days before the weekend about reoccupying the place.
My name is Elena, and I don't speak very well English, important to say. I was at the Teste with people from Notre-Dame-des-Landes the weekend Remy died.
Can you talk a bit about the context of the demonstration on the 25th of October, the fighting that happened that night, and the following the reactions the following day?
This manifestation was
No, in English it's too hard, I'm sorry. So the demonstration followed evictions and destructions that happened in this place, in the Teste, where a forest had been destroyed to be able to build a dam. And so it was a weekend of assembly to support those who are struggling against the dam project. This was supposed to be a weekend of exchange, of partying and of rebuilding. So we came down in a bus. There were about 50 of us from Notre-Dame-des-Landes because we have links with the people there, because the struggle speaks to us and because it seemed important to bring our support there. So in the afternoon, there were debates. There were also political groups that were present. And also parallel to all that, there were bands of CRS and GM that were present, that were positioned around the worksite. People mostly ignored them or went to walk around them, but nothing really happened. They were there because the day before, what was left from the worksite had been destroyed, a small building and some machines. And several people decided that they didn't have their place at this gathering and decided in a more forceful way to tell them that they weren't welcome and to encourage them to leave so they couldn't be a part of the party. And that's when the confrontation started. There were lots of grenades and some people already wounded in the afternoon by shrapnel, and there were discussions elsewhere about what was going on. So that was the afternoon, and it had more or less calmed down by the evening. But people stayed there to keep the pressure on and show the police they were determined and that they didn't have their place there. In the night, we had grenades.
The Saturday after nights of fights with the police, it stopped being tensed during the day, the Saturday stopped being tensed, and everybody would party, enjoy the weekend and talk and everything. And I went back to the place where the fights had happened the night before. Some people burned some stuff that was on the construction place where the machines were there before, but weren't there the weekend because hundreds of people angry against machines would come. And so I went back there and nothing happened. During the day, lots of things happened, a fight with the police, clowns and people masked up, and people sitting and watching, and people trying to talk with the police. Lots of spray gas and some offensive grenades that were kind of scary and that would hurt people really easily. And so we stopped being tense also before the night. Then I saw lots of fires that were lit up back to the valley, and I decided I would see what was happening there, even though I wouldn't hear any grenades exploding or anything. And so lots of people were partying, and I went to see the fires back to the valley. And then the cops, about six vehicles were there, doing nothing, just being there. Nothing to protect, but just there. And so people would lit more fires and approach a bit the cops, but without being dangerous at all. Nobody wearing weapons or being masked up, just people being there and talking. And then the cops decided that they would be too close to them and that they should move. And so they asked people to move. People wouldn't, and so they started launching spray gas, and so it started to riot again for a night. Went pretty fast. Offensive grenades, lots of them, and yeah, I had never seen that before, even though I was to the other side where there were grenades used a lot too, but there it was kind of different, I don't know. Like, it would really explode like you're in like it's war. And they would launch it and you couldn't hear anything or see where they would explode, and so everybody could just got a fucking grenade in their feet. Yeah, there was nothing to do really to get the cops out of here. More of them came and nothing could change by the way we did anything we did. And I didn't see it, but someone fell at some point and nobody knew about it. And I left the riot about during the night, I don't know when.
And then in the morning we heard, well, it was really vague at the beginning. We heard from the media that maybe someone had died, but then it was retracted, and then we saw that the cops were gone and heard later that the death had been confirmed. That's how we learned about the death of Rémi. And so then we had a big meeting, a general assembly, to decide how to react to the news, which there is no one good reaction to this. It's really hard to know how to react in this kind of moment. It just seemed so unreal. There were lots of debate about the necessity to go into the streets to make people talk about what had happened, particularly in the surrounding cities, in Gaylac and the next day in Albi, which are the big cities around Testi.
I would like just to speak about the day he died and when we were at the Testi and the surprise. It was on this day of, there were a crowd to come at the Testi, and people just were speaking at the micro, at the mic, and they were saying stuff about people, violent people that were here just to break the struggle, and that were on the side of the state, and that we had to be mistrustful of these people. And it was a very strange atmosphere with people listening this and just applauding without critics, no open mic and no possibility to answer. So there was something like an anger that happens at this moment. I saw this. And like a kind of marginalization of people and of a way of action that was showing like the problem. Very strange and very surprising for me. I didn't expect anything by coming there and didn't know anything about this place, and there I was very surprised. And then it was surprising as well how we did react. Just we had 1 hour to feel this, and after we had a kind of assembly to decide what to do. And in this assembly, we were very numerous, but there were no solidarity between people here. I thought it quite violent between people. That was my worst assembly of life. The moment in Gaillac, the night, the Sunday night, and in Albi, the day after. And perhaps I don't speak about this.
The next day, somebody's talking about a rumor that someone might have died. And then I got really, really shocked that this might have happened. But nobody knew about it. Nobody was sure. Then we got the information that someone really died. And then there was a meeting that was set to talk about it and see what we would do. So there were maybe 200 people in their big tent, and people trying to react the best way they could to this news. So some people decided to directly go on a strike to the next city, and others decided that we could still get evicted the next day, and that we, those who didn't want to go to the, or just do something else, but didn't want to go to the strike, would build the reoccupation, build the autonomy, and build the ZAD for the next days. And so with lots of people, we decided we would build a collective cabin.
So just saying the fact and not talking about the implications at all, that week there were many demonstrations all over France. Many demonstrations that were pretty confrontational with the police, and there were some that stayed calm, but it was really blowing up, an explosion. There were quite big demonstrations in the south of France, in Paris, in Rennes. There were also many confrontations and a lot of repression, with demonstrations that were forbidden and preventative arrests, particularly in Paris. And since then, there continues to be support or people rising up. I don't know. I don't have the words and anyway the will to keep on talking about. But anyway, the will to keep on talking about what happened, to say how much is not permissible, inadmissible, and that we won't let it happen again. It's not the first time. Then the high schoolers started to get involved, and they follow what others have been doing.
So can you talk about your personal reaction, about what you've been thinking about?
The thing is, everything was really, really intense these days, and that, like, tons of energies, and, like, in these kind of moments, I can't really, I'm really dispersed, like, I can't focus on things, so my emotions are, like, really fucked up, and going in all directions. So yeah, I still don't know, because I'm still on this intensity. I didn't know this guy who died, Remy, at all, but what I felt is that he could have been really anyone. Like, even though he was kind of close to where the police was, some grenades exploded really in the feet of the people that were back, because the grenades would just go wherever, because they shoot in some ways that the grenades can rebound. But just, I got this picture in my head of the grenades that would explode in some way that would make me think to the movies I would see, with this shroom explosion, like, and I wouldn't see that in the forest on Notre Dame. I don't know if the grenades were different. I'm not sure about it.
They and shot them more in the air.
Yeah, they would shot them with the grenade launcher, which they never did. Well, they could realize that some people live that every day, and worst, even like really worst. What are... To any that would go to riots, don't do something you wouldn't assume. Don't do anything. Don't do anything to. Don't do too much the first time. Just analyze the riot. Just get experience and don't get caught. And yeah, be smart and use paint.
Paint.
Really useful to blind the cops.
Oh.
It's paint.
Because of the plexiglass.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe there's some. Sometimes lots of people get frustrated and. Like just during fight with the police, and they want something to happen, but if it doesn't happen, it's just that people are not ready to assume it or to do it. So there's a lot to learn from these moments.
But when I came back at home, I was a bit shocked. I think I couldn't really have a troop. Politics reflection about this, because there were no place for like emotional understanding, and so I had a lot of difficulty to understand what happened with people saying we have to do something like a revenge, and people saying no, that's bad, we have to just go in a place and not speak and to be silent, and just I was lost, really. And it was like if it wasn't about a guy, just something that everybody was making their own, yeah. But I don't know, it was just a kind of, à un moment donné, a kind of rejet. I couldn't just go and have politics moments with people about this. It was too strange. And right now, I think it's becoming possible, but I'm not really able to have something clear in mind. For me, it's quite soon.
It makes me wonder about a lot of things, especially what's been put into question since that weekend, how to deal with the consequences. Well, especially, how do we assume the consequences of certain things and certain movements that can be started? Obviously, every action we make has consequences, so now we have the question of what kind of actions do we do, which ones are the most pertinent to confront or show our strength to the police and repression. I'm asking myself the question because the demos that happened were difficult to become involved in. There was a movement of rage, which clearly had its place. But in every movement like that, it was strongly criminalized by the media, except this time it wasn't only the media, but ordinary people with what they were seeing. They didn't manage to join in or find themselves in what was happening. And so personally, and in many informal networks, we're asking the question of how do we make links with people? How do we manage to make ourselves understood, to have people understand what we want, our demands, what we're defending, and our acts?
Thanks to our friends at the ZAD, Du Tiste, for sharing that audio, and I'm sure that many feel your loss. And now, some musical features for your listening pleasures. First off, Nature Calls Us Back by Rewin from their self-titled album recently released by Indie Records. Next up will be The Chalice and the Blade by Ides of Gemini from their recent album, Old World, New Wave. We're hearing Corrections House with the song Bullets and Graves from their album Last City Zero from Neurot Records. Next, we'll be hearing In the Company of Serpents with their soon-to-be-released album Merging in Light, due out in December. The song we'll hear is Breed, Consume, Die. We'll be right back. This is the Oregon band Contempt with Gallows from their album Skinwalker. Lastly, we'll hear Rimrunner from Berlin with Eisiger Sturmwind off of their album Frostband.
Yeah.
Asheville Free Media, ashevillefm.org. This is The Final Straw, and I'm Bruce the Goodness. The show can also be heard on KXCF in Marshall, California, KWTF in Bodega Bay, California, WCRSLP in Columbus, Ohio, and KOWALP in Olympia, Washington. Archives of the show can be found a week after airing at thefinalstrawradio.noblogs.org, and you can email us if you have any suggestions or critiques or whatever at thefinalstrawradio@riseup.net.
Are you part of a local nonprofit organization? Want some help getting your message out? Consider a public service announcement with Asheville Free Media. A public service announcement is a great way to gain exposure for your organization or cause while supporting positive change in your community. If your organization has an existing public service announcement and you'd like us to run it, great. Get it to us and we'll get it on the air. Interested but need some assistance? We're here to help. Contact us at psa@ashevillefm.org or go to www.ashevillefm.org for more information and let us help you spread the word.
This is Senor Sugarball from Los Straitjackets, and you're listening to Asheville FM, Asheville Community Radio.